cat's ear truly is a curious thing, thin and cool, like the skin of bamboo shoots, plush velvet on one side, and shimmering smooth on the other. A peculiar substance, neither truly hard nor soft, defying easy words. Ever since childhood, the thought of a cat's ear made me ache to snip it, just once with a ticket puncher. Is this a cruel fantasy, I wonder? No. It stems purely from the inscrutable allure, a strange suggestion held within their ears. I can't forget the image of a solemn guest at my home, absent-mindedly pinching the kitten's ear, nestled on their lap as they spoke. Such doubts, unexpectedly, cling with a stubborn grip. Childish fantasies like snapping an ear with a ticket punch, if left untried, never truly acted upon, linger in our ennui, living on far beyond our apparent age. Even adults, long past their age of reason, still eagerly consider, what if I just cut it clean through, sandwiched between thick cardboard? Such thoughts still bloom in their minds. Yet, recently, quite by chance, the fatal flaw in this fantasy was brought to light. Naturally, a cat won't easily flinch from pain, even if held by its ears like a rabbit. Against pulling, a cat's ear holds a strange design, for traces of a tear, as if stretched once too far, can be found on every feline ear, and where it's torn, a clever patch seems to lie. Truly, for those who believe in creation or in evolution, it remains an enigma, a delightfully absurd ear, and that patch, it must be, is the very thing that softens the tug on their ear. For this reason, when it comes to having their ears pulled, cats remain utterly unbothered. But what about pressure, I wonder? Even a strong pinch with fingers won't make them wince. As with that guest, a mere squeeze rarely coaxes a cry. From this, the cat's ear earns a reputation for invincibility, and thus faces the danger of the ticket puncher's snap. One day, deep in play with a cat, I finally, impulsively bit its ear. This was my revelation. The moment it was bitten, that silly creature let out an immediate shriek. My old fantasy shattered right then and there. A cat feels the most pain when its ear is bitten. The wail begins with the faintest whisper. The more you press, the louder the cries grow. A perfect crescendo emerges, like a woodwind instrument, it seems. Thus, my long-held fantasy faded away. But it seems there's no end to such things. Lately, I've begun to fantasize anew. It is this, to clip all of a cat's claws. What would become of the cat? Perhaps he would simply perish. As always, he'd try to climb a tree. He can't. He'd leap for a person's hem. It's different. He'd try to sharpen his claws. There's nothing there. He would surely try these things many times over. Each time he would slowly realize how different his present self is from his former self. He would slowly lose all confidence. He could no longer stand at any height without trembling with fear. For the claws that once protected him from a fall are gone. He would become another creature, stumbling as he walked. Eventually, he wouldn't even do that. Despair! And while dreaming of incessant terror, losing even the will to eat, he would eventually die. A cat without claws! Could anything be so frail, so pitiable, like a poet stripped of imagination, or a genius fallen into early dementia? This fantasy always fills me with sorrow. For the sake of that utter sadness, the question of whether this outcome is valid ceases to be a concern for me. But truly, what would happen to a cat whose claws were removed? Even with its eyes or whiskers gone, a cat surely lives on. But those sharp claws, hidden within the soft pads of its paws, curved like hooks, keen as daggers, I have no doubt that these are this animal's vitality, its wisdom, its spirit, its very everything. One day, I had a strange dream. It was the private room of a woman named X. This woman normally kept a lovely cat, and whenever I visited, she'd release it from her embrace to approach me, a gesture that always left me weary. When I picked up the kitten, it always carried a faint scent of perfume. In the dream, she was applying makeup before a mirror. As I glanced over, half reading a newspaper, I let out a small gasp of surprise. for she was impossibly applying powder to her face with a cat's paw. A chill ran down my spine, but looking closer, I saw it was a cosmetic tool, used just like a cat would groom its own fur. But it felt so strange I had to ask from behind her, "What is that? The thing you're stroking on your face? This?" She turned with a gentle smile, then she tossed it gently in my direction. Picking it up, I saw it was a cat's paw, after all. "What on earth did you do to this?" As I asked, a sudden understanding flashed through my mind. The kitten wasn't here today. And this paw, it must have been hers. "You know what this is, don't you? It's Mer's little forepaw." Her answer came so calmly, so easily. She said such things were trendy abroad these days, so she'd tried making one, using Mer herself. I asked if she made it, my heart recoiling at her cruelty. She said an attendant from the university's medical department had made it. I had heard that medical attendants would bury cadaver heads after dissection, making skulls for secret deals with students, and the thought made me uneasy. Why ask someone like that when it wasn't necessary? And I started to hate, as if for the first time, the callousness and cruelty of women in matters like this. But about it being a foreign trend, I dimly remembered something similar. Perhaps in a women's magazine or a newspaper, I'd read it myself. A cat's paw? A cosmetic tool indeed. I pull the cat's forepaw close to me, always smiling to myself as I gently stroke its fur. On the side of his paw, the one he uses to wash his face, there's soft, dense fur, like a velvet carpet. It really does seem perfect for a human makeup tool, but what good would it do for me, truly? I lie down on my back with a gentle sigh and lift the cat softly onto my face. I gently take its two forepaws in my grasp and press its soft pads one by one onto my eyelids. The comforting weight of my cat, those warm, tiny pads, to my tired eyes, a deep, otherworldly peace, a profound rest, not quite of this world, begins to flow. "My dear kitten, please, for now, just stay here, don't stray. You're always so quick to show your claws, you see."